Good morning, Heritage. Today is Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. This is Mr. Neese, and you are listening to the Griffin Rundown, a weekly podcast for HCA. I hope that you're listening together on the way to school this morning. This week on the podcast, the interview is with John and Carly Zoller, and this one is entitled Why We Chose HCA and Why We're Still Here. John and Carly have been parents at Heritage for several years and have had a taste of both the Peninsula and Bainbridge campuses and served the school in several ways. So very thankful for that interview. I think you'll want to listen to it. And then we'll do some upcoming events at Heritage. I'll touch on the charter. We'll do a good look at a great book with Mr. Parkin today. I'll give a construction update. And then, of course, the joke of the week. So let's start with some calendar items, a few short ones. First of all, the second annual staff versus upper school students game night will be held at the Peninsula campus this Friday, March 15th from 7 to 9 p.m. All students are invited to cheer on their friends, family, and their favorite teachers or their favorite administrators as the upper school students take on the HCA staff in various sports and games to raise money for the 7th and 8th grade field trip. We also have concessions available and intermission games for the younger crew in attendance, and tickets are donation only. Academic calendars are now live on our website. Some of you have been asking for the calendar for the 24-25 school year. You can now find those live and on our website. And in addition to the busing that HCA will be offering between campuses next year, please also see the recent newsletter with a link to drop in your address. And this is for the purpose of families finding other families that live near them. So it's a service to you for the sake of carpooling. There is no requirement, but I think it would probably be helpful for many of us as we hunt for HCA families who live near us, and we may have had no idea, and it would be a handy thing to know for carpooling purposes. The hymn this week is, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, which the opening line is derived from Moses' Psalm, Psalm 90, and the opening lyrics there. So again, I'll encourage you to find a version of it. It's a good one. It's a short one. Listen with your children and sing it with your children, and maybe open up Psalm 90 at the dinner table tonight and see where it comes from. Pepper Pike construction update. I think I've shared, but I'll share it again, that one of the cottages is fully gutted and is being refitted for 5 new classrooms at the campus. And they've already transitioned from gutting to putting together mechanicals, and ductwork and walls are going up soon. So thankful for that. And then the demo crew has moved into parts of the main Tudor building. So there's walls down in there, and the carpet tiles are being scraped up in anticipation of new flooring. So, so happy to be seeing the progress there. Charter update. As you know, we're waiting on the state to schedule their first site visit with us, and we are anticipating and hoping that that will be within about the next 30 days or so. And we are making preparations on our end as we wait for the state. We're making preparations on our end and in anticipation of receiving the charter. There's much going on in the back room as we prepare, including, and importantly, the groundwork to guide your families through receiving the EdChoice scholarship. And again, I encourage you, as I have several times, to go back and listen to the podcast from November 28th, in which I interviewed Troy McIntosh, who is the head of Ohio Christian Education Network. And I think I've continued to have some conversations over the last few weeks that I think that podcast in particular will help to correct some thinking and dispel some thoughts about maybe misunderstandings of the charter. So I put before you the podcast from November 28th with Troy McIntosh. Okay, well, now it's time. We are going to do our segment on a good look at a great book. In the studio, I have with me our fine 8th grade humanities teacher in Bainbridge and 10th grade humanities in Northfield, Mr. Parkin. Mr. Parkin, great to have you on the Griffin Rundown.
Good morning, Mr. Neese. Great to be here.
Yeah, so thankful you're given your time to come and share with us some of the things you're reading and discussing in your classes. So would you just share with us, Jim, you're not a stranger to the Griffin Rundown, but would you share with us what are the eras of history and literature philosophy that you're studying both in eighth grade and in 10th grade?
Yeah, sure. In eighth grade, we are going through the medieval era and primarily kind of apostolic late church age, fall of Rome, early medievalism. We're reading through the Song of Roland right now, which is quite fun. So that's French chivalric poetry. And then up in 10th grade, we are in the second rotation into ancient material, the ancient world. So we are now reading through Livy, and we're going to move on to Tacitus and some other Roman historians and poets as we close out this last quarter of the year.
Okay, so Mr. Parkin, you've got no shortage of material here to pick a good look at a great book. So which book are you hoping to share a little bit with us today?
So I want to talk about The Peloponnesian War by Thucydides. And that book is remarkable in that Thucydides was an Athenian general and a statesman. And he was actually exiled during this Peloponnesian War for 20 years because the Athenians were dissatisfied with his lack of overall success. But that gave him an opportunity to be a kind of a third party observer of this war, and this war being between Athens and Sparta, kind of one of the famous moments in Greek history. And because he had this vantage point, he was able to ask the question, if people are put in really high pressure situations, what do they actually look like? What happens to them? What are their claims of virtue or goodness or excellence? Do those hold up when the chips are on the table, as it were? And so he's using the war itself as kind of an inductive reasoning experiment to say, you know, Athens says that they're the most grand, excellent, wonderful people who've ever lived. But they don't do too hot when they're in a war environment. In fact, they are very abysmal in terms of morality and virtue. They spend most of their time really being rather bad actors and thugs and extortionists. And Thucydides is Athenian. He's talking about his own people, but he's making the observation that, hey, yeah, you can talk a big talk, but when it comes to difficulty and hardship and affliction, you're kind of a monster at the end of the day. And he's trying to make that argument that that's what everybody is like, not just the Athenians. He's trying to cast that net over really kind of the first crack at social science that we ever have recorded is this book. You know, he's saying, what do people look like when they're in a lot of pressure and they don't have a good outlet for their, quote, virtue to shine?
And that, so I'm just curious then, Mr. Parkin, how does it resolve? Where does Thucydides, I mean, you in a sense told us his some explanation of them, but is there any other end to the work of pointing to a higher power, or is there gospel hope at the end?
I think it's implied because Thucydides doesn't have a solid answer. In fact, he never fully finished the work. He died just before it was done. So we have 90% of it. We don't have a kind of a neat ending, but he's aiming towards it in his arguments that clearly we need to be more honest with ourselves and our condition. We can't puff ourselves up with platitudes about how great we are. We need to face the music that we need a lot of control in society or in a household or in a culture in order to make sure we're not going off the rails. But he is a little bit of a cynic, to be sure. There's a lot of cynicism during the Peloponnesian War because all of these great city-states were making claims about how incredible they are. And then they ended up being really rather atrocious to each other. And it makes me think of, in fact, one of my students brought this up, that it reminds them of the cynicism that came across the West after World War I, because we expected people couldn't possibly stoop so low. What do we do? And there was a lot of depression and darkness there. But I think, Mr. Neese, what the point is even if Thucydides is not pointing to a gospel solution, it screams it from every page, because you know in a situation so dire, because he really is peeling the layers back and saying, this is what the human heart looks like. We would say, yeah, that is what the human heart looks like. Thank God that Christ saves the human heart and offers that salvation that the best darn city-state can't do itself.
Yeah, so powerful to be able to point at our own hearts in these things, and thankful for your leadership in being able to point to the gospel where, you know, even if he had finished the work, probably wouldn't have got to redemption in these things. And so thankful for your leadership, Mr. Parkin, and drawing the kids to see these things. And my guess is your sophomores are savvy enough to get there on their own also.
Yeah, I think so. And that was a really great series of discussions we had over this book, because it's kind of awkward to read a book that the author is trying to point out your flaws and say, stop kidding yourself. So there was good introspection and good collaboration on that one. And I do think that we clearly saw the need for redemption that we can't provide for ourselves.
That's really good. Well, and then finally, Mr. Parkin, for I'm assuming 98% of the parents listening to this right now have never read The Peloponnesian War. They can't pronounce Thucydides if they saw it. So what encouragement do you have for those of us who might be overwhelmed at the thought of just picking it up and will I even have a clue what's going on here?
Sure. You know, I do think it's actually a pretty straightforward book. Thucydides is a no-nonsense author, and I do not think it is as daunting as it may appear. And there are some dry sections. It is a history book. There are points where, you know, it's kind of another example of the same thing. Okay, so we can move past that a little bit. But I would say my encouragement is what Thucydides primarily does is he has these great speeches in the book. It's kind of like here's Pericles, the elder statesman of Athens, and he's giving this oration to the people after the first year of war. And it's this grand, impassioned speech. I mean, we talk about rhetoric at our school. These men were master rhetoricians. So honestly, I think that's quite engaging. You read these speeches, which is the bulk of the book, just kind of one figurehead talking to another or whatnot. And they're very evocative and very interesting and not, they aren't stuffy or heady. I think it's really solid. And I know the translation we use, I think it's the Landmark series, very plain, easy English. So I don't think it's really that intimidating so much as you just have to kind of have some context and then enjoy it. I love that book. And I think it really was fruitful for our students, but to your point, it'd be fruitful for our parents and all of our families. It is a great staple of social science. Like I said, it's really the first stab at that. And I think he landed the plane, as it were. It's a really great effort.
Well, Mr. Parkin, I'm thankful for your work with our students, and thank you for your good work in pointing them to the gospel of Jesus in all of these works. Have a great day, brother.
Thank you. You too, Mr. Neese. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Well, and now it's time for your favorite segment and mine. It's the joke of the week. And I have with me here in the studio a young lady who I think is very, very funny, usually. No, just kidding. Always funny. This is Lydia, and she's a sixth grader at the Bainbridge campus. Lydia, do you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
Hi. All right, Lydia. This is a lot of pressure. I haven't heard your joke yet, so I'm anticipating I'm going to laugh pretty loud. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, lay it on me.
Where do you find a dog with no legs?
Where do you find a dog with no legs? A hot dog. In the hot dog.
No.
What? Where?
Exactly where you left him.
Okay, that is funny. Exactly where. That's pretty good. I like it. All right. Where'd you learn that joke?
My basketball team captain.
That's funny.
Evelyn Kenny.
Evelyn Kenny. That's a pretty good one. Hey, shout out to Evelyn. All right. You're in sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite class that you're taking right now?
I like literature.
You like literature?
Mm-hmm.
What book are you guys reading?
Johnny Tremaine.
Johnny Tremaine. I've read that one. That's the young man in Revolutionary War era mm-hmm. in Boston. Yeah. That's pretty good. And sixth grade, aren't you also doing U.S. history like that?
Mm-hmm.
Early American history?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Anything else you really want to share with us?
Not really.
Yeah. Well, tell me, why do you like Johnny Tremaine?
I like that his character changes when he burns his hand, and he gets to see what it's like in the Boston Revolution.
Yeah. What do you mean his character changes, sweetie?
He used to be very prideful, and when he burned his hand, he got to see what it's like not being the boss and everything.
Yeah, that was good. Yep. Some affliction helped him mature, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Hey, well, thanks for sharing. And funny joke. I like that one. Oh, is it okay if I share it too? Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Thanks, Lydia. And now I want to introduce onto the podcast John and Carly Zoller. John is a board member and has served on the board for a little bit of time now at Heritage. And John and Carly are faithful supporters and prayer warriors and servants of the school. So today, very happy to welcome them on and just talk to them about why they originally chose Heritage and why they stay at the school. So without further ado, let's welcome John and Carly Zoller. Well, John and Carly Zoller, welcome to the Griffin Rundown.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, super thankful for your family and happy that you're giving up the time to join today to share with the Heritage family just some about your family and maybe how you got to Heritage, why you chose this school and why you're staying and what you're looking forward to and things like that. So I think it would be good if we just started today with the easy softball. No wrong answers here. Would you just tell us a little bit about your family, about the Zoller family?
Yep. So we have five children. Three of them are currently attending the Bainbridge campus. So Penelope is 9 and in fourth grade. Jones is 7 and in second grade. Benji is 5 and in junior kindergarten. And we have two future Griffins. Glory will be 3 next month, and Selah is 1.
Boy, so you guys aren't busier or anything at home, are you?
Not at all.
Oh, man.
It's awesome. We're very thankful.
Yep. This is one of those where, you know, we need the body to come around us and remind us you're never going to be busier than you are right now.
Yeah.
And it's good and hard when those that are a little bit ahead of us say, you're actually going to miss these days. And you think, am I really?
I believe it. We have an 87-year-old man in our life group, and he tells us that children are the gold of the earth. And so it's true.
Good reminder.
It's good. Yep. What is the expression? The years are short, but the days are long, or something like that. Right.
Yes.
They go quick. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing, Carly. So would love to hear just a little bit about your own background and maybe a little bit of how you two met and how you came to know the Lord.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised here in Northeast Ohio. I went to public school up until seventh grade and then Catholic school from there through college. But outside of college, this is where I've lived my whole life.
And I moved around quite a bit growing up. I was born in Oklahoma, lived in Tennessee and lived in Ohio and Brazil, and then spent most of my formative years in Tennessee and then East Texas, actually where Mr. Bond is from.
Hey.
And then the last 2 years of high school and in college, I was in Ohio. So, and I also had a public school education.
Well, hey, preliminary comment. It's a good thing Mr. Bond's not here right now, or we'd be stuck talking about Texas for the next 20 minutes. It's a good thing I'm doing this one. Wow, Carly, I didn't know that the Brazil part there, that's fun and unique. Maybe we'll do a follow-up with Mrs. Zoller here just to tell us about Brazil. But
I don't remember much. I was just 2.
Oh, well, there it is. Maybe would you just share just briefly, one or both of you could share the story of how you two met and came to know the Lord.
Yeah. So I'd say our upbringings were pretty similar. And one thing in particular that we had in common was that both of our dads taught us the game of golf growing up. And that's actually what led us to meet. I was a freshman at the University of Dayton in 2003. And Carly was a senior in high school, and she was getting recruited to play golf at Dayton. And we met on her recruiting visit. And, sparks flew. And she told her parents the next morning that she wasn't sure about the school.
They said, "What do you think?" And I said, "Well, I'm not so sure about the school, but I met the guy that I'm going to marry."
Is that really what happened, Carly?
What happened.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't sure about the school. She ended up going to Bowling Green. And we kept in touch for the next several years, but never dated despite my best efforts. And we didn't actually live in the same city until 2010, when she got a job at a local college in their athletic department. We were very excited to be in the same city for the first time. And it was right around that time that my best friend from high school, who had become a believer a couple years prior and had been pursuing me throughout that time with the gospel, up to that point I'd resisted it. He sent me a letter around Christmas time in 2010. And it was the first time that my eyes had been open to the truths of God's word and the truths about our condition and the solution in Christ. And I became a believer and tried to start sharing with Carly, and she thought I was crazy.
I remember saying to John, "Well, Jesus is good and all, but just doesn't have to be everything."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk for a while after that, but we later that year reconnected, and I got Carly a Bible for Christmas, and shortly after that, told her to start in Romans, and she did. And
I remember reading Romans 1 and 2 and 3, and then texting John one night and being like, "This is really bad," and he said, "Just keep reading." And I read Romans 4 and believed the goodness of God to me and his saving grace. And I look back now and I read Romans and I have no idea how I understood, but apart from the Spirit. So very thankful.
Amen. Yeah.
And 6 months later we were engaged, and this year we'll celebrate 11 years as a married couple. So,
wow. 11 years and 5 kids.
Yep.
It's been busy.
Bless you guys. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord for the story. And, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of backstory to your buddy that wrote you the letter, John, but, can't help but think, as you're saying, that the times that the Lord brings people to mind seemingly, without cause. I wonder why I'm thinking about this person today and the obedience to reach out and to pray for that person as the Lord does it.
It's interesting you say that, because it wasn't a letter that he initially had sent to me. He had sent it to his parents. And he said, "I don't know why I'm even sending this to you, but I am." And, wow. And it was the right time.
Wow. That's incredible. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And a family that's forever changed because of it.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for sharing. That's a beautiful story. I know that was condensed. John, your short game must have been on that day. Good thing.
Yeah, one of the only days.
But although not good enough to get Carly to come to your college, but so good.
You know what, though, God used that too, because as I had come to understand the gospel, I found out that my college golf coach, who I had become really close friends with, was a believer, a strong believer. And so she was able to disciple me and really give me, separate from John, but then also together as we grew as a couple, she was able to disciple me and kind of help me mature in my faith too. So that was pretty cool.
The Lord's work. That's great.
Yep.
Thanks for sharing. Boy, if nothing else from this podcast today, I hope people listening are encouraged by your story. Switching gears a little bit then here, and we've probably already hinted at it with, you know, what grade your oldest is in, but how long have you been a part of Heritage?
So we started when the campus opened in Bainbridge in 2017, I think it was. So Penelope was in the three-year-old class. She had Mrs. Mazak. Mm. And we were in Bainbridge for that year when she was three, and then for junior kindergarten and for her kindergarten year. And then COVID happened, and I had heard about the study center and was always very intrigued by it. I never saw myself as equipped to be a homeschooling mom. And just the timing seemed right. And mm-hmm. so we decided to try the study center. So we were in Peninsula for 2 years. So Penelope was in first and second grade there, and Jones was in junior kindergarten and kindergarten in Peninsula for the study center. And I sure just really love that. It was a really valuable experience for our family, the bonding, and just kind of instead of sending my kids to school every day, just being able to jump headfirst into the relational things that go with trying to teach your kids that are challenging. And then also I got to know the grammar curriculum, the first few years of the grammar curriculum, pretty well because I was teaching it. And I appreciate that now as the other kids go through it, because I feel like I can kind of support the kids at home a little bit too. And then we came back to Bainbridge last year to be back in the full-time academy when we were expecting our fifth child. So it's been seven school years, I think.
Seven school years, and you've seen both of the grammar school campuses and in all of their glory, and both preschools in both of their glory. Mm-hmm. Then,
yeah,
that's right.
Some really, really wonderful teachers.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Boy, and John, I can't tell. Was Carly just angling for a job there in the grammar school?
That's what it sounded like to me, David.
Oh, I wish I could. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Mm-hmm. Now's not the time. So then, John and Carly, just to piggyback then and to keep moving, why did you choose Heritage then? When there's all the options that are out there before you.
Yeah.
You remember those days of what led you to Heritage?
Yeah, it's interesting because we were engaged and trying to figure out where we were going to live. And we were both attending Parkside, but both driving about a half hour to get there. And so we narrowed in on Solon for a couple of reasons. First, to be closer to Parkside, but also the reputation of the schools. We had intended that our kids would attend public schools. And it wasn't until we heard from the pulpit at Parkside one Sunday morning that Heritage was opening a campus at Parkside that it wasn't until that point that, you know, we even considered private school, private Christian school, all of the above. But Carly attended the open house for HCA shortly after that. And she just came home super intrigued about the classical model and the Christ-centeredness of what was going on at HCA. So it made sense to us to send Penelope there for preschool. But I think even after that point, we had still intended that at some point we'd switch back over to public schools.
Yeah. And yet here you are.
Yeah.
And, here are 7 years later. And, you know, Heritage is not a perfect place. We're a bunch of sinners working here. And so there's no sense of everything that, you know, not every teacher is perfect and not every club is maybe exactly what we want. But you guys are still here. So you know, as you've just considered that and would love to maybe hear, why are you still around at Heritage with your kids?
How long do we have? initially, like John said, we hadn't planned to stay. We didn't want to shelter them or raise them in a bubble. We would send them, you know, as they got older. We also wanted to be a part of our soul and community that we live in. But as I look back, I kind of think it was uninformed thinking on my part, and maybe even just knowing myself, maybe some a lack of immaturity or a lack of maturity rather in my own faith. And I think that the part of wanting to be a part of our community was valid and good, but we've since come up with ways to do that as well. So, but once we got a taste of Heritage, you know, with Penelope being in preschool with each year, our perspective changed completely. So the classical education, the Christ-centeredness, the partnership that we have in shepherding our kids, we really feel like has eternal significance for them. So as far as the classical model goes, I just am so excited about the education that they're getting. Maybe a little bit jealous too. You know, you always want better for your kids than you had for yourself. And while I had a great education, it's just, I think most of us parents could say it's just so much different than anything we've known, the classical model. And I think we've realized that they don't really need so much to be sheltered. They need to learn to think and to speak and to write. And they're getting that at Heritage. And I do have examples of what I love about the classical curriculum, the richness of the history and the literature that they're reading. I try to buy a couple of the books and read along with them, although I fall behind. But and then the Latin, I was listening to the podcast about you know, the reason that we study Latin, and I've seen firsthand how it helps their vocabulary develop. But really, I think I've heard you say this a couple times, Mr. Niece, but that's not really what we're on about. So really, it's how saturated in Christ we find Heritage to be, that he's just the center of everything here. And if our main responsibility as parents is to lead our children to the shoreline, to bring the gospel to them on repeat, then why would we choose to go anywhere else? So, yeah, I could go on. The truth is just woven into everything. It's the power of salvation for our kids, and it's woven into every aspect of the curriculum.
Amen.
It's not a separate religion class. You know, there's no compartments here. So,
yeah, boy. All right. I take it back, Sean. She's angling to be in the admissions office now.
Can I keep going?
Carly, you know what? It's so good.
Convocation will forever be my favorite thing. I feel like anytime I've ever lingered at school for one reason or another, and I get to hear a little bit of convocation going on, it's like a taste of heaven. So it's reinforcing to our kids the value of the practice of starting the day by worshiping the Lord and fixing their minds on him and surrendering the day to him. And they're with the body that's their school. And
right.
That's a practice that we, you know, have to fight for as grownups, and they're starting to learn that, you know, right now, which I love. And then this year I've been super thankful for, especially, how rich art and music are that I never really gave much thought to. Mrs. Gushelak sends home these pages that have an application and a discussion on them for what they're working on in art. And I have a lot of paper that comes in the house, and I throw away a lot of paper, homework and stuff, but I keep these and read these as devotionals for my own, for myself. So they're just rich with gospel truths and scripture that, because the kids are doing art and working with their hands and producing something, and that goes along with the scripture that they're learning, they're not going to forget that, you know?
That's right. Well, and I'm thrilled to hear you say that too, because I know Mrs. Gushalak has a God-given knack to see about 8 different threads and ways to weave them all together.
Yeah.
That is the artist's mind that I don't have, but the Lord has very much gifted her with that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think the one thing that I'd add to what Carly said, and it's interwoven in it, but just the partnership model of HCA, I think is so unique and special. It is a true partnership in the sense that, you know, HCA is striving to cultivate in our children the same faith and the same character that we're trying to cultivate at home. And I think we could look back and say, in many cases, they're doing it better, you know, and we're learning as we're participating along with the school in the growth of our children and in their education. And I just think about, and I'm sure we're not the only family that's dealt with this, but we've had seasons of anxiety and struggling to get to school in the mornings.
Just separate from us or from.
Right.
But I remember, you know, having a conversation with Mr. Bond and expecting him to say, hey, you guys got to get your act together here. But that was not the response. His response was, you know, it was grace. It was flexibility. It was, hey, this, you're not alone in this. This is something that a lot of people are dealing with, and we're here for you. And hey, let me pray with you about this. And, you know, that's the same response we've gotten throughout the school from teachers and administrators. And it's just been such a blessing for us. And I just can't imagine that you can get that anywhere else. and it's just been such a key aspect of why we love this school so much is that it's also showing us the love of Christ along the way.
That's right. Mutual discipleship and encouragement for one another. That's super good. Yeah. And again, I'll just say it as you said it, John, but Mr. Bond and Mrs. Larison and Mr. Hatterberg are great examples of grace to me also in my life. So the leadership that they're providing at each one of their campuses, and just cultivating an atmosphere and an ethos of grace that abounds, right? Sure, there's truth. We have to hold the truth, but we also want to be gracious and pointing ourselves and the families to Jesus in all things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So thankful for you guys and for the feedback on this stuff. So just one or two more. You guys are both involved at Heritage, and John, recently you've stepped up in a few ways. So how have you guys been involved at Heritage?
So over the course of the years, I've been involved in prayer. So I did Praying Moms in Bainbridge before we left Bainbridge to go to the study center. And then I try to go do lunch and recess duty as much as I can and being in the classroom. I will say in humble confession that I haven't done the prayer as much, been a part of those as I would like to be. And I mean, I hear you every week saying, encouraging people to be doing those, but I'll do it too, because I'll remind myself. And just every time I have left a prayer meeting in person or I've gotten off a prayer call, I just have felt so refreshed. I mean, just being in prayer with brothers and sisters for our kids and for our school is just amazing. So it's a great opportunity that we need to take advantage of, because if we believe what we say we believe, then we need the Lord. We need him, and we need him to keep us and protect us from evil. And so I would just encourage people to do that. Myself.
Carly, let me just cut you off for one second. It's so good. I think if we're all honest with ourselves, that's all of our hearts. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say, hey, when I see some of these heritage prayer calls come up on my calendar of, oh, okay, a half an hour right now that I don't know that I have to give to this. And then you do it. And Lord, thank you so much for the blessing of being able to pray and be in communion with you and be encouraged by brothers and sisters. Yeah. So shameless plug for tonight, Tuesday night at 9 p.m. is one of those. You can find links in your newsletters, and then tomorrow in the middle of the day at 12:30. So you can find links for those. But the Tuesday night one, everybody, hopefully your kids are in bed by that point and you can hop on. I know you're exhausted at that point, but as Carly's telling us, it's worth it.
Yeah, well, sometimes I find myself sleeping in their bed, so.
And as you said, David, I've had just the privilege and honor of joining the Board of Trustees last March, in March of 2003. And boy, it's just been such a joy to serve with a group of people that just have so much humility and faithfulness, and they love the Lord and love the school and just want the best of it, you know, for the future. And excited to be part of, you know, thinking strategically about the future of HCA. And that's one of the things I think in joining the board that I wasn't fully aware of, that the board's really not tasked with kind of the day-to-day oversight of the school. It's more kind of, where are we going to be in 10 years and 20 years? And how should we be making decisions with that lens in mind? And again, it's just been a privilege, and I'd be remiss to not say that it's a team effort. You know, I think the board members have sacrificed a lot, especially in this season of lots of changes, but so the spouses and families of the board members and present company included. it's certainly a team effort, and we're all investing in, you know, what we believe is something really special and from the Lord.
That's right. Well, yeah, I'm thankful for, and I know we could probably talk for five more minutes of ways you guys are involved in supporting the school beyond even just the couple that we just shared. But the board men and women are giving a lot of time, and therefore their families are giving a lot of time. So John, thank you. And Carly, probably bigger thank you even right now. So Heritage wouldn't be where we are without godly men and women giving up of time. So thankful for you guys.
Likewise.
Okay, last one, I think. We consider Heritage for our own kids, right? And it's easy to see the benefit of Heritage for our own children and easy to talk about. I'm wondering, you know, as we maybe step back a little bit, do you see impact of Heritage even beyond your own kids?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think anyone that comes to an event at Heritage, whether it be the Christmas concert, the spring concert, a grandparents' day, visiting a convocation, I think wherever they are in their faith journey, they're going to see something different about what's going on at HCA. I think it's pretty unique to attend one of those events and hear a clear gospel message. And, you know, Mr. Nice say, you know, what we're really on about is not first and foremost academic success or, you know, getting a good job. And I think most people would say, what? this is a school. And, it's just about so much more than that. And I think that's clear and evident and can make an impact on people's lives just in the surrounding community and extended families and neighbors that become are welcomed into this community. And so I think it's having an impact much beyond our own children. And also Carly and I have, you know, had a desire and passion to see what we've experienced at HCA be experienced by more and more families. And so that's part of the reason we're so excited about the Pepper Pike campus. We're excited about the prospect of Ed Choice scholarships and that opening up the opportunity to benefit from an education at HCA for families that, you know, may not have had that access before. So
right.
I think, you know, the potential is huge for this school in the future.
Well, John and Carly, thanks so much for giving your time today to talk to the families on the Griffin Rundown. And I hope this is, for all those out there listening, I hope this has been a great blessing to you in some way or shape. And I'm certain that it has been. And again, John and Carly, so thankful for not just your time today, but the many ways you serve and support the mission at Heritage.
Well, thanks, David. Thanks, it's been Mr. a pleasure, Reese. And we're thankful for you too.
Yep.
Amen. All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Griffin Rundown. As always, it is a pleasure to partner with you to cultivate your children to be lifelong learners who think and live for Christ. We'll be back again next Tuesday.